Spirit of Design delves deep into the unseen elements of design and holistic sustainability.
Join us, Amy and
Anya,
for open conversations with creatives, scholars, activists, and others to envision alternative design futures that are diverse, inclusive, community-centric, and in symbiosis with all life on this planet. Welcome back to Spirit of Design Podcast. This is episode number 14, and today Anya and I are just going to be having a kind of kitchen table chat about the vibration of cloth and the vibration of things. And we're really excited to kind of take you down this alleyway and explore these ideas. And they're a little bit out there, but we just encourage you to stay open to this conversation and take what feels good and leave what doesn't. And if you have any feedback, feel free to join in the conversation by leaving comments or getting in touch with us. So should we kick it off, Anya?
Sounds great, Amy.
Amazing. I wish you guys could see our setup right now. Anya's sitting in the closet and I have a table pulled up next to some strangers. Very strange looking setup here, but we're making things work, so
we are.
Okay, cool. Do you want to kick it off, Anya, with today and our conversation around the vibration of cloth?
Yeah, sure. So I guess this is a conversation we've had many times before, and we did a live on this last year on Instagram, and it's something that keeps coming up, particularly around our relationship to materials, garments, but also, you know, products, things that we can touch in the world. And so one thing Amy and I have been exploring in our conversation is this idea that our materials, our garments, products, technologies, things that we can hold in the physical reality actually have a vibration. So there's this idea in quantum physics that everything is vibrational matter. Everything vibrates and has an energy frequency. So we know this. This has already been proven in science. It's not just this woo-woo idea. But so if this is the case, even if you don't believe this, even if we can just get speculative for a moment, if this is the case, what does this mean for things we make and create in this world? What does this mean for our products, for actual tangible garments, for materials? If everything has a vibrational matter, what does this mean? So if everything is vibrational matter, are there any energetic consequences and effects that materials, garments, and products have on us and the world around us? And what I mean by this is, if everything has this energy, how we can, like, this vibrational matter, how are we contributing to this, and how is this adding to the world, not just in the physical sense, as in a product or a garment, but also in the energetic sense? So we talk a lot about in the sustainability space how things we're throwing away are adding to landfill, but they're also adding to the chemicals in the earth. And, you know, we can't get rid of things. They're made unsustainably. They're exploiting, extracting people. And that whole process of the supply chain has a very physical effect on our world, right? And we know this. We know that a lot of the touch points in our supply chain, I guess talking about fashion here from Amy and I's background, but also any product, you know, computers, phones, products, even food, there was a whole supply chain that it took to co-create that, and there are physical consequences and effects of those touch points in the supply chain that add to the sustainability or unsustainability of that end product. as well as, of course, the use phase, how the user, the wearer, uses that product, that garment afterwards. But we barely ever talk about the energetic consequences. So the energetic consequences of that, all those touch points within the supply chain. So if everything has vibrational frequency to it, it would make sense that all the touch points within the supply chain, as in the raw materials, perhaps the chemicals added to the raw materials, the people that have touched the cloth, depending on how they were feeling at the time, whether they were exploited, you know, were they in their full worth and like really connected to their sustainability of the self? Can all of that energy actually be transfused? Can that go into the garment and the product? And this is a conversation Amy and I have been having. Well, actually, perhaps it can. Perhaps not only when we buy and purchase these end garments products, that we're not only, obviously we understand the environmental and also societal consequences of some of these extractive and exploitive systems within the supply chain, but what about the energetic consequences? Can all that energy, that vibrational energy, which is picking up on the exploitation of workers and of the over-extraction of the environment and chemicals, GMOs, monocultures, does that stay in the fiber? Does that stay in the material and in the product? And then are we taking that on as wearers, as users, onto ourselves? Perhaps you have something to add to that, Amy.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that I was questioning a lot was, like, why are we, in the context of fashion, how come the average wear of a garment these days is so low? It's like 6 or 7 average wears for a garment before it's thrown out, right? And I, just for me personally, I was questioning, you know, I don't think that this comes solely down to the fact that we're, you know, selfish or lazy, or just, you know, we're these consumers that just have this insatiable appetite for clothing. But I was questioning, you know, if this conversation around vibration is for real, let's just pretend for a minute that yes, vibration can be affected by those touch points along the supply chain. Yes, if somebody, you know, if the way that the fiber is grown is unsustainable and there's a lot of pesticides and herbicides that go into the ground and into those fibers, then that can lower the vibration. If the person who's sewing the item of clothing is exploited, then that can affect the vibration of the end product, which is the garment, in the case of fashion. So I was asking this question, just playing with this idea, what if the reason that we live in a society where we just throw away so many garments, like it's as if there's this insatiable appetite for clothing. What if it's a little bit deeper than that? And what if on an energetic level, what's actually going on is that when we're putting these garments with these low vibrations onto our bodies are, intellectually, we don't recognize this, but on a kind of spiritual or even just a physical level, our bodies are rejecting these garments because the vibration of them is so low, and therefore we want to get rid of them so quickly. And so for me, that was where this kind of, I was really interested in exploring this idea of, like, what if this is the reason? What if this is at least part of the reason that we throw away so many garments? And I found it really interesting when Marie Kondo came out with her Netflix doco, The Art of Tidying Up. I found it really interesting that she had this activity where she was telling her, you know, viewers to hold up this garment and to go through their things and to hold up the item and ask if this sparks joy. To me, that spoke to this idea of her... And it was just, it was a completely different language than what we're using right now, but it felt like as if she was inviting the viewer to feel into the vibrational frequency of that garment or that product, and to feel how that felt to them, and to experience the energetic side of that, and decide whether or not it was something that felt good to them or made them feel low. And if it didn't feel good, to then, you know, get rid of it. So for me, that I found that really interesting when it came to this conversation, because it kind of felt like, okay, we're talking about, you know, this problem we have with consuming and throwing things out and all that kind of stuff. But what if we looked a little bit deeper than that? Because on the other side of things, if you've ever bought a garment or a product that's beautifully handmade, that you know every touch point in that supply chain has been honored, and that it's quote unquote sustainable, because we know there's no, like, that's just a very broad term. But you know what I mean? Like, if there's been respect throughout that process of making that garment or that item, and that's been a positive vibrational experience. So, you know, the fibers were grown in a respectful way to the earth, and people were paid fairly, and there was ethical treatment of workers, and they felt empowered in the things that they made, and they were enjoying this process of creating something beautiful. When you own garments or items like that, they have this sense about them, that they just, they have this kind of inherent value to them. You feel the story of that item, and you feel the beauty of that item in a very different way. And I guess in fashion, we talk a lot about it having a story and the importance of stories of things. But to me, that speaks a lot to the vibration of something. It speaks to a higher vibration and an alternative to these low vibration, fast fashion kind of items that are being put out into the system. And yeah, I guess that's the track my mind went down when you were talking about vibration of materials and products and garments. And yeah.
Yeah, that's so interesting that you touch on this idea around like what's been happening with the whole Marie Kondo movement, and how we can really like tune in to the intention that's gone into the creation of garments, products, whatever it is. And I'm wondering how that idea around intention of the energy that's going into something, into the creation of something, how vital that is for creating more sustainable products. And because, you know, like you were mentioning, you can really feel the love and the craft that's gone into handmade things, where you know the whole story and the artisans and the people that made them. And, you know, the same is with food. Like, you can always, you know, why is it that when there's been a meal cooked to us by someone we love, by our mum or whoever else, and it just tastes so much better. Like, there's been studies done on this, because there is so much love and intention gone into it, and you actually feel it, and your body feels it. You feel it in an energetic level, and that intention is so important. And so what could fashion or product design, material making, technology, system making look like if the designer would start the design process from actually tapping into the intention that they have for creating the product? Tapping into how am I feeling right now? Is my cup filled up? Am I designing, creating, making this from a place of fullness, from a place of connection, from a place of visioning what I want this thing that I'm creating? How do I want it to be in the world? How do I see it 1,000 years into the future? How will this add to people's lives? What would making and design look like if the designer slowed down at the beginning and at various touch points within the system to actually really check in with the body, to check in with the heart, to check in and see what is what I'm creating now coming from a place of love, coming from a place of fullness, reverence for the earth, reverence for the people within the supply chain. Because, you know, to be honest, we usually don't have much to do with. Our systems are currently set up that we don't have much to do with the entire supply chain. So it's very difficult to know if all those touch points are been done in a clear way. Although, of course, many people are doing it. But, yeah, it's obviously not the mainstream. But what would fashion and making, designing look like if it really started from that place of connecting to intention, and also ensuring that the designer is coming from personally within them, they're creating from a place of flourishing, from a place of fullness. Could sustainability be enacted in more full holistic ways if that happened?
I think that's a really interesting question to pose, because when I'm thinking about, you know, a standard supply chain currently, and even a quote unquote sustainable supply chain currently, at least within the context of fashion, but I'm sure this extends beyond that. There's so much fear that goes into all the different stages of that. Like fearfulness, like, of course, there's joy as well. Like, I think there's a lot of designers who really enjoy that process of designing and being in their job. And there's a lot of people who love their jobs. But there's also a lot of fear, like a lot of fear around, like, will this be done on time? Like, here's the time frame that we have to keep up to. Here's the, like, is it going to be, like, we have to keep to the budget? Like, will we sell enough? Like, how do we push? How do we market? How do we get more customers? How do we, you know, upscale? All of these kinds of things. And there's so much fear pushed into that entire process all along the supply chain, all along the process of making, until that end garment or product is in your hands. And I think were we truly to slow down and consider the vibrational energetic side of things, and making sure that, as you said, when it begins with the designer and they're designing that product or that garment, that it was done from a place of fullness and a place of, you know, joyfulness, and that was the start point, but that happened all along the process of you know, the supply chain and the making of that till it came into your hands. I feel like that entire system would be so fundamentally changed, because by addressing that, it would require us to slow down a lot more. It would require us to actually sit in deeper questioning. It would require us to be more present with each stage of that. And were we to do that, there would be a lot of different decisions that we would make, because energetically, if we're making decisions from love or from fullness, those decisions are very different than when we're making decisions based in fear. So, like, can I use this, you know, fabric for this collection or whatever? No, I can't, because I can't afford to. The price point would be too high, blah, 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 blah. The way we would approach that would be very different. Like, I feel like if we removed fear or those low vibrations from the whole process, we would do it differently. But currently the systems aren't set up to make space for that. So navigating that is, like, if this conversation resonates and you think, hey, you know, I've never thought about this way, or yes, what you're saying is, like, really speaking to what I felt about this for a very long time, it's like finding ways to navigate working with this, like, and being aware of this. And because I think even in quote unquote sustainable supply chains, there is still so much fear there. So, like, how can we really get in touch with that energetic side of things? How can we navigate through the process of making something with being really radically aware of the energetics of that process? And and what questions can we ask ourselves along the whole process of making that take us deeper beyond our fear, that allow us to explore what choices, and even if they aren't choices that can be made in this moment, even just asking deeper questions allows us to explore for ourselves what are the other possibilities. If I was just to ask deeper questions here, if I was to ask, what if I was committed to the absolute highest vibration of this item I'm making, then what would every point of this process look like? If we ask those questions, we can then begin to envision something different. But without asking them, you know, we just stay stuck in the system. I don't know.
Yeah, I love what you mentioned about the importance of words and beliefs and going on from that. I just thought of a really good scientific example that might be useful for anyone that's still a bit confused about what we're talking about, because it is a bit of a confusing subject, because we're not really taught to think that way, at least in a Western context. And there is the work that we'll put links to in the show notes below, Dr. Matsuru Emoto, and he was a Japanese scientist who worked with water, the vibrational frequency of water. And he did these tests where he would have one container, well, he did many tests, but there was this one test that he did, that he would have one container of water, and he would give that water loving thoughts, and would sing to it in beautiful beautiful words, and just really nourish that water with words and belief and sending loving energy to that water. And then he had another container of water where he would throw hate words and hateful energy and just a lot of negativity towards that area of water. And then he actually looked at the waters and compared them on a molecular level. And what he found was that the water that he had sent loving thoughts to was the patterns that were creating, that the patterns that were emerging from that were so much more intricate and beautiful, as opposed to the water that he had been throwing the hate speech to. And the water that he had been throwing the hate speech to, it actually, the molecules had started disintegrating and really coming apart, almost like they were, in a way, dying. And so his work is quite prolific in this space. And then he actually ended up, he continued the work doing it on big bodies of water like rivers and lakes. And there has been some research done by his son, who's now taken over as he has passed, around actually cleaning up bodies of water that had been polluted through different energy techniques. So that's a really interesting, I think, point of reference on like the power of beliefs and words and how things hold vibration.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting to even just consider those things, because like you said, we're very used to, you know, working with the intellectual side of things. So these conversations can be really challenging sometimes, because they're not intellectual conversations in the sense that, you know, they're much more about looking at vibrational kind of, or more spiritual ideas that we're not so comfortable exploring, especially in these spaces at the moment. So I think it's important to look at those scientific kind of experiments for some context to this. But I also think that, like, I just always love to remind people that you can just play with this idea. You don't have to believe that it's true. I mean, you can just for the moment play with the idea and just imagine if it's too far beyond your own reality, just see what comes up for you if you imagine and play with it and just interact with it a little bit. See how it feels. Try it on. If you don't like it, you can always donate it to the secondhand shop. Don't throw it up. No, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think it's important to consider things beyond, we're constantly looking for solutions to, you know, this crisis that we're in, this like crisis of unsustainable living that we're in. And if we really are serious about like finding new ways of doing things, we have to look at new ideas. And it's not that this is a new idea, but like it's new in the sense that it's not widely looked at, or it's not looked at in these spaces. So I just encourage people just keep an open mind to these ideas and just play with them a little.
And would you say, Amy, that this way of thinking kind of like this way of thinking that there's life and everything is alive, even if it's a garment or a rock or a pencil or whatever it is, does that align with kind of Māori ways of being and knowing?
In the sense that, like, for example, in Māori culture, you can like, we'll believe that like a rock can take the Māori of something. And I'm still learning about all of these things. So, I'm not definitely not the expert on these conversations, but, and we believe that the rock can take the Māori of something. As an example, it can, and Māori means like the life force. So it can hold life force. So to me, that speaks to the idea that if a rock can hold life force, and if that life force can be affected by different things, then why can a garment not hold a life force? Why cannot other stationary why can other objects not hold life force as well? And if you think about this idea that everything has life, like the trees have life and they, you know, are their own life force, their own spirit. And if, like for us in our culture, that's true, for me, when I'm thinking about garments, everything begins its life as something in the natural world. Even oil-based products, like, if you go back far enough, it was, once upon a time, something living before it broke down. And so, to me, it speaks to the idea that that there is life in everything in it. And sure, we kill it at some stage of this process. But, yeah, I like to interact with that idea. I like to explore that idea that if in my culture we believe that life force or Māori can be held in something like a rock and can be affected by different things, then why can a garment not hold Māori? Why can a garment not have its own kind of life force that's affected or changed or shaped by those who touch it or those who are along that process of creating and making that thing? To me, it seems pretty logical that a garment could hold a vibration and that could be affected by different things. Because if you look on the opposite side of things, like, I can be affected by a garment. Like, a garment can bring me joy and a garment can make me feel lower in my vibration. This is something that we appreciate deeply within fashion. Like, stylists are always talking about how dressing to feel good about yourself is so important. So like certain colors will raise your vibration. And sure, we're not talking about raising your vibration, but we're talking about it will make you feel happier. It will make you feel like you can go out into the world and own it. And so if a garment can do that to me, if a garment can make me feel empowered or feel joyful or feel in the opposite side of things, if like, if wearing too much black makes me feel, and I'm not saying that it's going to make that black's bad, I'm just saying as an example, if wearing too much black or dull colors makes me feel lower, and makes me feel kind of tired, then if the garment can affect me, then why can I not also affect the garment? I don't know if that's too out there for some people, but yeah, I feel like that feels pretty legit to me. I don't know if it's just because I've drunk the Kool-Aid or not, but like,
No, I think that's super interesting. And yeah, I can totally, even though that wasn't a part of my upbringing or like the way I was raised, now it does seem logical, like you say, that all these things are living. And you know, I think bringing it back to like notions of care and intention, I think if we do somehow adopt or even play around with this idea that everything is alive, then that can really reinstate notions of care, reverence, and sacredness in everything. If everything is alive, then we actually start respecting things more. We start respecting the elements of the earth that are needed to create the thing. We start like respecting different types of energies. We start respecting kind of the entire touch points that are needed to create that thing, and that really can start to instate more sustainability. Because when you respect something, when you hold something sacred, you're obviously going to go out of your way to care for it, to ensure that you know, all is taken care of, to ensure that the people are taken care of, as well as the elements of the earth. And also how that garment or that product, or whatever it is used by the user afterwards. Like, you actually are going to care more. I do think this way of thinking, actually, even if we're just playing around with it, it can actually reinstate these notions of care, which we've lost so much of.
And you know, like, this is slightly tangent to thinking right here, but it just, what you were saying kind of took me down this pathway. But you know, last week we talked a little bit about the week before, about supply chains and the words that we use to describe supply chains and needing better language. But like, what if the reason that we love and just cherish our garments that are made by artisans or made like very beautifully intentionally made items that we own, what if we cherish those like in part because of the quote unquote story of them, but what if it's actually that we feel within those items the community-ness of them? Like, we feel that it's not just a supply chain, quote unquote, because I hate that word, but we feel that there's a community in this item. Like, there's a vibration of community that passes through, and that makes us feel a part of something bigger than just ourselves. And by wearing that item, we feel as though we belong. We feel as though we're a part of something greater. We're a part of a community. And so by rethinking about the language we use around supply chains and thinking about supply chains more as our community, that whole vibrational aspect of it, like when we are engaging with community and when we're finding belonging, or when we're just extending that respect, as you say, to every part of that, it allows us to have this far more profound, kind of holistic, deep, meaningful relationship with what we wear. And I think that people are really craving that and really wanting that experience of community-ness. But I believe that we can have that in part through our garments. Obviously, you can't just get community through wearing garments. But I do believe that vibrationally you can pick up on that in an item when you wear it. And I do believe that if we were to shift the way that we work with our quote-unquote supply chains and the way we view them and, you know, being super aware of the different vibrations that are going into this product, that could be extended. And by creating that sense of community, that vibration of community in an item, we therefore treat it, interact with it, love it very differently than we would otherwise. And you don't throw community away. You don't chuck it in the landfill after 6 wears. You love it, you nourish it, you take care of it, you respect it, you feel a part, you know, you when you wear it, you feel really good about it. Yeah, sorry, that was my very off on a tangent thought that came up, but I really feel like I've experienced that in certain garments that I own. I've experienced that sense of community, that vibration of community that has been stitched into my garments or that has been lovingly sewn on them.
That's so beautiful, Amy. Thank you for sharing that story. Oh, not that story, but those reflections of your experiences. And I think one thing that just came up for me is I think it also might be really important to note here that, you know, even if you do have garments that perhaps weren't made under the best conditions or are made from polyester or it's questionable the supply chain process that has gone behind it, and perhaps, you know, unquestionably there is quite a bit of trauma that created that garment. I think but you really love that garment. I think you can choose again. I think you can pour your love into that despite all of that has gone on in the background, through, I think, developing a relationship with that garment and caring for it and loving it. And like you said, like treating it as a member of your community when, even though perhaps it hasn't gone through the whole process, because I think it's really important to also, note that we're not just like things are black and white at the moment. We can't just reduce everything to fast fashion is bad. Don't buy fast fashion, or don't buy mass produced homogenized products. It's kind of a privilege to be able to even say, don't do that, because these are the things that are accessible to most of us. So like when we have these things, how can we develop like a relationality to these things that kind of transcends the entire back process that has had to go to? And that is, of course, you know, not to say that it is okay to consume mindlessly, but when I think it's done with intentionality and with mindfulness, then yeah, I do believe that we can create a new story.
100%. And you know, it's not like, this is not to say go throw everything in your wardrobe out so there's only good vibration things in there. Absolutely not. Like Anya said, you can choose again. And guilt is one of the lowest vibrations, so don't even play with it. Like there's if like you look at it and you think, you know what, this probably wasn't made in a way that feels good to me, but you can choose again now. You can choose again now, and you can choose to start to interact with it differently. You can even go through it, like if you really want to get into it, you can go through a process and say, you know, just imagine yourself going through the supply chain and thanking everyone along the way. You know, thank you for what you put into this. You know, I recognize that it wasn't done in the most thoughtful and ethical and caring way for you, but thank you for what you've done so that I can own this garment. And just shifting that entire energetic state of that item so that you can really enjoy it without feeling like you need to. That might be just way too out there for some people, but you know, like there's ways that you can begin to interact with it so that the relationship with the item feels different to you, so that you can have a relationship with it that's, you know, that's honoring and respectful and aware of what has gone into making that item.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And do you have anything else to add, Amy?
No, I feel
on this topic?
No, not unless you do.
No, I don't. I feel like it might be a good point to end on. So I think we're going to, yeah, keep this episode short and sweet, throwing a lot of big and entangled ideas out here, but I guess that's why we have the podcast, to be able to explore this. So it would be great to come back on and explore this even further as our ideas evolve. Once again, if you have any feedback, questions, opinions, let us know. Yeah, so lovely to be chatting with you, Amy, and thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this week's conversation.
For today's show notes, to get in touch or sign up to our mailing list, you can find links at the bottom of this episode page.
And if you are new to our community, then head on over to our Instagram at sustainability5.0 and our website www.sustainability5.world and follow along to stay up to date with our upcoming online and in-person events.
If you found value in today's conversation, then we would so appreciate it if you would subscribe and leave us a review. Through this, you're helping others to find these important conversations.
Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.